can go with me to Mark chapter number 10 tonight. Mark chapter number 10. I'm going to continue my series on the power of questions. And tonight we're going to talk about a wonderful question. What will thou that I should do unto thee? Or I've just entitled it, what do you want me to do for you? Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. Now, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since I preached. And I'm just going to tell you, now, I don't know if you'd agree, but it really doesn't matter. It's my opinion. And so you can disagree with my opinion, and I can be your friend, and you can be my friend. Amen. But I'm telling you, if a guy has ever been really called to preach, when he goes 2 or 3 weeks without preaching, he's ready to roll. And so I know Brother Dwayne told you when he preached for me when we went to North Carolina, I told him to preach for about an hour because I knew when I got back, I might want to preach for an hour, and so you'd be used to it. But no, he didn't do that. All right, Mark chapter number 10. And they came to Jericho. This wasn't the original Jericho. This was a new Jericho around Jerusalem. It was a wealthy city. It was kind of an oasis. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, or Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want you to go back with me in your mind for just a few moments to when you were a child. You had no resources, you had no money, you had no allowance, and the only way that you could get something was to be dependent upon a parent, a grandparent, or a guardian. If you wanted something, you had to ask for it. I don't know why I thought about this, but when I was typing this message 3 weeks ago, I thought about a time when I was a kid. I used to have matchbox cars. Anybody old enough to remember matchbox cars? Well, I had not a very big set, but I had probably 10 or 15. I had a dump truck, you know, a small dump truck, and I had a Caterpillar, and I had several race cars, you know, and I had to just kind of keep them around. And one day I was in the store, and I saw this neat little storage container for matchbox cars. It was round and it looked like a tire, and you opened it up and you could put all your matchbox cars in it, you know, and it had a handle and you could keep it all in one place. And I just wanted one of those. But I was young. I had no job. I never knew kids got an allowance until I was in high school. So I had no allowance. I had no way to get that except I asked. So I had to go to my mom or my grandmother. I don't even remember who I asked, but I just begged, oh, please, can I have this container? I want to put my cars in it, you know, and I'll take good care of that. If you would just buy that for me, then you will make me a happy little boy. And you know that they bought that for me. I started working at a young age, probably when I was 9 or 10. I started mowing grass, and I had my own money. And I got in the habit of when I wanted something, I didn't have to go and ask my parents. I just had to get a ride to the store or somewhere where I could buy it. And I would use my own money if I wanted a new tennis racket. I used my own money. If I wanted something new that they didn't provide for me, I had money. And so I bought that. And I just got used to buying my own things without asking. But tonight I'm like most of us, or you that are here tonight. I'm 62 years of age, and if I want something bad enough, I do one of two things. One, I save up the money, and then I buy it. The second thing I do, if I want something bad enough, I just go by it. And most of us are like that are here tonight. If we want something really bad, we will save up the money and we will go buy it. And most of us, maybe perhaps we have enough money. If we have a desire, we just go to the store and buy it. But do you notice what I didn't say I did? I didn't say when I wanted something that I asked God for it. When I had a need in my life, I didn't say that I went to the Lord and sought His leadership and His guidance and His wisdom. Hey, this thing that I want or this need that I have in my life, is it for my good? Is it for my benefit? God, if you would give this to me, would you do it for my good or benefit? I have gotten out of the habit in my life of asking God for things. How about you? Hey, when you see something and you want it, do you make it a matter of prayer, or do you just look at your bank account and see that you can afford it? Do you know that God wants us to ask Him for the very small things? Give us this day our daily bread. We take that as something is insignificant. We all have food. We don't have to worry about having something to eat. We just worry about what we're going to eat. But Jesus says, you know what? Before you eat or before you start the day, I want you to ask me. I want you to seek me about those small things. But God not only wants us to seek Him in the small things, but God wants to seek Him the big things. I'll never forget several years ago when one of my son-in-laws was in Ambassador College. We went and they were having a chapel that day. And so we went to the chapel, and there was a guy by the name of Dave Young that was preaching that chapel. I'd never heard of Dave Young, but on that day he was talking about and preaching on prayer, and he was talking about having a prayer book or a prayer journal. It was just a small book that he kept in his pocket, and he said, every day when I get up, I have a list of things that I'm going to pray for on Monday. I have a list of things that I'm going to pray for on Tuesday. I have a list of things that I'm going to pray for on Thursday. And he said, Friday is a day that I pray just for big things in my life, things that I think are impossible. Things that I would like to see maybe happen one day, but the only way that they're going to be able to happen is if God does it. And He says, I have one special day, and that's all I do on that day is pray for big things. Do you ever pray for big things? Do you ever pray for God to do something in your life that the only way that it could happen is that God would have to intervene and God would have to do it? Do you know God majors in doing the impossible? He says that there is nothing impossible with God. And sometimes we need to pray for the impossible, and sometimes we need to pray for God to do some things that we think that can never be done. But do you know that God gives you an open invitation every day and asks you, what do you want? God's asking you today, what do you want? What do you need in your life? Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14 through verse number 16, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. All that is saying, you know what, Jesus understands everything that you're going through in life. But here's the good part. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. You see, it doesn't say that we come into the throne of harshness. It doesn't say that we come into the throne of judgment. No, we come into a throne of grace, a throne of kindness, a throne of gentleness. And God says, hey, we come into that throne so we can obtain mercy and we find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Matthew 7 and verse number 7 through 8, ask and it shall be. Seek and ye shall. Knock and it shall be. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I wrote something special in my notes. I'm starting to feel pretty good right now. Are you starting to feel pretty good? Jesus says, hey, man, there's a throne room. It's a room of grace, and it's a room of kindness. And I want you to come when you got a need. And I want you to come when you got a burden. And I want you to come when your heart is broken. And I want you to come into this throne room when you're going through difficulties in life, because you're not going to find judgment. You're not going to find harshness. You're going to find mercy, and you're going to find grace, and you're going to find kindness, and you're going to find gentleness, and I'm going to help you in the time of need. Hallelujah. Woo, that's good, isn't it? Let me read that again. I'm starting to feel pretty good right now. You ought to, amen? We have a God in heaven that invites us to share our desires and our wants and our needs. Matthew 21 and verse number 22, the Bible says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John 15 and verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 16 verse number 23 through verse number 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Woo, that's good. You want to have joy? Get a prayer life and start asking God to bless you, and start asking God for things that you need in your life, and help in your life. And he says, hey, I want you to ask so that you can have full joy. I just believe the church, and this is one of my pet peeves. It's been my pet peeve for 30 years. When I pastored in Coleman, they got tired of it, but it didn't make any difference. I hammered it. Church ought to be a place of joy, amen? We ought to be able to smile and laugh and cut up and enjoy one another. If we can't have joy, how in the world can the world have joy? Jesus says, hey, I want you to come to me with your wants. I want you to come to me with your needs. And I want you to come with me with your desires. Ask and you're going to receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. If ye shall ask believing, it shall happen to you. Alistair Begg said this. I read this just a few weeks ago. You ought to write this down. I put it on the screens last week when I was gone. Man, here's really a great quote. You will never know Jesus Christ as a reality in your life until you know him as a necessity. You will never know Jesus Christ as a reality in your life until you know him as a necessity. We come to our story tonight. It really is a great story. Verse number 46 tells us that Jesus is in Jericho, but he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's got a crowd that is traveling with him, and as I was trying to think through this text, I thought, you know, Jesus is not leading the crowd. He's not in front, and there's a bunch of people behind him. But I just believe that Jesus is in the middle, and there's a bunch of people that are around him, and that crowd is moving towards Jerusalem. We know that it's just a matter of a day or two before Jesus is going to go to the cross. This is going to be the last time that he goes into Jerusalem. And as he is going to Jerusalem, the Bible says there's this great number of people, and then we are introduced to someone by the name of blind Bartimaeus. Here is really a good trivia question for you. How many people in the Bible that Jesus healed are named? One, Bartimaeus. He is the only person in the New Testament that Jesus healed that is named. Now, there are other relatives around, but this is the only person that Jesus healed that is named. The Bible also tells us that Bartimaeus is blind. He cannot see. Now, in that day, if you were disabled, it wasn't like today's day. You were dependent upon the generosity and the grace of other people. Bartimaeus couldn't go out and get a job. Bartimaeus couldn't go to the government and apply for any of those programs. All Bartimaeus could do is to go out each and every day, and he had to set, and he had to, I don't know if he had a sign or what, but I'm sure he had a cup or a bowl or something, and as people would walk by, they would donate and they would give to Bartimaeus. By the way, this is the last miracle that Jesus does before he goes to the cross. But Jesus has got this crowd that's all around him. And I'm sure there's a lot of bustling. I'm sure there's a lot of talk. I'm sure there's a lot of noise. And Bartimaeus every day has gone out on this road. And today is going to be unlike any other day, because his life is going to dramatically change on this day. He's sitting there and he hears one or two come by, and then all of a sudden he kind of hears a noise. You know how a crowd makes noise as they get closer, you know, there's talking, and so you can tell there's a crowd coming to you, and Bartimaeus is sitting there and he hears this crowd and somehow or other he hears the name Jesus. And he's thinking, you know what? I need him. Because I'm blind, I cannot see, and perhaps he had gone to the doctors, and perhaps he had tried all of the medicines, perhaps he had tried everything that he could, and nobody could help him, and he was helpless, and of necessity, the only way that he was ever going to be able to see is if Jesus touched him and healed him. He kind of gets excited. The crowd gets closer. And Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of Nazareth. Do you think he said it like that? Jesus, Son of Nazareth, I'm way over here. You know me, I like this kind of stuff because I'm loud. Are you ready? Jesus, Son of David. Whoa! I'm over here. I don't know what he might have got up and moved a little bit. Hey, Jesus, Son of David. Hey, I'm over here. He created a scene, my friends. But there was a lot of people that said, "What you're thinking? Shh, be quiet. Don't you know we're sophisticated around here? We don't like no loud preaching. Be quiet." That's what it says right here. Notice the text in verse number 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet. Don't say anything. Jesus is coming by. Isn't it interesting that the disciples like to move people away from Jesus? All you got to do is go back one chapter. I believe it's chapter number 9 or chapter number 10. There was a group of parents that brought children to Jesus. And the disciples are over there saying, "Hey, get away from him. He don't have time for you." There was another time in Matthew chapter number 15 where there was this Canaanite woman. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And she's bringing her daughter to Jesus because she, out of necessity, knows that the only help that she can have for her daughter was Jesus was going to have to cast out that demon. And she's wanting to get the attention of Jesus. And she comes to Jesus, and the disciples say, "Hey, send her away. Get rid of her. We don't have room for her. It's not time for her." When he's feeding the 5,000, remember the 5,000, they've gone outside of the city and they're out there eating, and Jesus is teaching, and it gets to be late in the evening and the people are hungry and they come to Jesus. "What are we going to do with all of these people?" And the disciples said, "Let's send them away. Let's get rid of them. Get them out of here." That happens to the church sometimes, doesn't it? I'm guilty of it. If they don't fit into our little role model, what we think they ought to be, maybe they're a little different. Maybe they're a little hard to get along with. Maybe they're a little irritant. What do we say? We don't want them in our church. I find humor in the Bible. Do you ever find humor in the Bible? Because here's all these people. Be quiet. Be quiet. And I like this because it says he cried all the loud more, Jesus, hey, I'm over here. I would fit into Bible times pretty good, you know it? And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, Jesus stood still. Notice that verse number 48. Y'all to circle that. I've got it circled in my Bible. And Jesus stood still. You know why? Because he heard Bartimaeus. You see, Jesus was on a deadline. Thousands of years ago, the day had already been set that Jesus would walk into Jerusalem and present himself as the King of Kings. He wasn't just wasting time on his way to Jerusalem. No, there was a deadline. There was a specific date that he was to walk into the city. It would have been real easy for Jesus just to keep on walking. It would have been real easy for Jesus just to ignore the cries of blind Bartimaeus, because after all, Jesus was important. He had all these people around him, and here's just a guy that's been there for probably years, day in and day out. But the Bible says that when he heard the cry of Bartimaeus, he stood still. And here's the humor. Those that were telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, he said, hey, go tell him I want to see. Can you picture that? Hey, be quiet. Shh. Hush, hush. Don't you know it's Jesus? Bartimaeus, Jesus is calling you. Why don't you come with us? I just find humor in that. Don't you find humor in that? The reason I find humor in that is because in my life there's been times I thought, I can't deal with that. I'm not going to deal with that issue. I'm not going to deal with that person. And then Jesus and the Holy Spirit's convicted me, and I've had to humble myself and deal with it. They go to blind Bartimaeus and say, hey, Jesus is calling you. Jesus wants to see you. Now, I like this. Look in the text. The Bible says that he takes his coat or his outer garment, and he takes that thing off and he throws it. Why? Because Jesus was calling him. He didn't want any hindrances. He didn't want anything that he would have to drag along. Hey, Jesus wants to see him. And so, man, he is ready. He's prepared. He takes off that outer garment. And I'm sure that somebody's holding his hand. And they guide him to Jesus. He's excited about seeing Jesus. Why? Because he knows Jesus can help him. And he knows Jesus can heal him, my friends. You know why we don't pray? Because really deep down, we don't believe Jesus can do a miracle in our lives. That went over well, so I'm going to say it again. Because you know what? If your heart was broken and you were at the bottom and you really believe with all of your heart that God could help you, you would fall to your knees and cry out to a holy and to a righteous God. Bartimaeus runs to Jesus. He gets over there. And don't you find it interesting that Jesus doesn't ask him, do you want to see? When I was studying this, I thought, why didn't he ask him? Hey, don't you want to see? He didn't ask him that. He asked an open-ended question. What will thou have me to do? I want $1 million in the bank. I don't know that my answer is correct, but when I tried to think through this, I think when he asked him this open-ended question, he wanted to see what his heart was. What was his heart? Bartimaeus, what do you want? Bartimaeus said, I want to see. Oh, I want you to touch me. I want you to heal me. I want to be able to open my eyes and see all the beauty that you created. But in doing that, he uses a word that's only used two times in all the New Testament. In our King James, it says, Lord. In the Greek, it's Rabboni. The only other time that it was used is in the book of John, when Jesus had risen from the grave, and when Mary went to the grave and she saw the resurrected Jesus, she said, Rabboni. They say that that term is an expression of true faith. Bartimaeus is saying, you know what? I truly believe you can heal me, God. I truly believe that you can do a miracle in my life. And then you read the next verse, and the Bible says this in verse number 46. Or verse number 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. And now it was a process of a few years that he gained his sight. Is that not what your Bible says? Let me check. I may have a different version. And in a few months, he received his sight. I like that word, and immediately. I'm not a very patient person. Do y'all know that? CJ, you know that? Amen. And I'm telling you, immediately. Woo! Woo! Man, look at that. Man, look at those flowers. Look at that grass. Look at those clouds. Look at the sky. Man, woo! He received his sight. James chapter 4 and verse number 2 says this, ye have not because ye ask not. Didn't I quote it to you earlier in the book of Matthew, and all things whatsoever ye desire, if ye ask, believing, he shall give it to you. Hudson Taylor was on his way to China. You know that he was one of the great missionaries in China. And as they were sailing along, the wind died down and there was no wind to push the boat along. They were in a kind of a vicarious situation because when the wind quit blowing, they wasn't real far away from an island. And on this island, it was known as cannibals were all over this island. And over a series of time, the boat began to drift. And it got closer and closer to this island. Matter of fact, it got so close that those who were on the boat could see the cannibals with fire. They were preparing for a good supper, all these guys on this ship. The captain of the boat, he tried everything that he could, that he knew to do to keep the boat from drifting. But no matter what he did, it didn't affect anything. And so he knew that Hudson Taylor was a Christian, and he called him and said, I've tried everything. What in the world can we do? I've tried everything. And Hudson Taylor said, you haven't tried everything. He said, on this ship, there are four Christians. He said, if we four Christians would go to our rooms and we would just pray and ask God to give us a breeze, a wind, I know that he would. And so those four Christian men went to their rooms and they got on their knees and they begin to pray for what some would think was just a small thing. God, would you give us a breeze? God, would you give us a wind that could blow our boat away from this island? After they got through praying, Hudson Taylor went up onto the deck and he went over to the guy that was in charge of the sails and he said, raise those sails. He said the guy responded in a kind of curt manner, you know, there's no wind blowing. It's just a waste of a time. We don't have anything to win. There's no reason to raise those sails. And Hudson Taylor said, you know what? I've been praying to God Almighty the one who controls the wind, the one who controls the sun, and He is going to answer our prayer. Raise those sails. And Hudson Taylor said, as soon as those sails were raised, the wind began to blow. And it blew that boat away from that island. And Hudson Taylor would say this, there's nothing in my life that is too small that I won't pray for. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What do you need? What do you need from God? Do you need healing? You know what? I serve the great physician. Man, I'm grateful for doctors. I'm grateful for hospitals. I'm grateful for nurses. I'm grateful for everybody. And God uses them mightily. But I also know tonight that God heals without that. You have a financial issue in your life? Well, I don't want to pray for finances. I'm telling you what, you get low enough, you will. You know what my Bible says? God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And I'm telling you what, He's loaded, amen? He owns everything. He can answer that. Do you have relationship needs? Maybe there's someone in your life that you're having difficulty with, whether it be a kinfolk or somebody that's just at work, or there's just something in your life that's just bearing and putting stress on your life. Do you pray for it? I could go on and on. But I would be willing to bet you that everyone in this auditorium tonight has some kind of need in their life. And God is saying, ask. Seek, knock, and it shall be open unto you. You might say, well, David, I've prayed about something for years or months, and God hadn't answered my prayer. Yeah, He has. Because you know God's not going to let anything into your life that's going to harm you. If God hasn't answered that prayer yet, keep praying. I think it was D.L. Moody that said he prayed for his dad 50 years before he got saved. There's been things in my life that I've prayed for a long time. And just at the right time, God answered that prayer. We serve a king. We serve an omniscient, omnipotent God. There is nothing too hard for Him. No matter what you're going through in your life, He's asking you. What do you need, Martha? Hey, Linda, what do you need? Hey, Albert, what do you need? Hey, Jeffro, what do you need? Hey, CJ, you need a new husband? No. Can I tell you, that's the God I serve, loving and gracious. And just like my father and just like my mother, your human mother, what do you need, son? Don't you believe God wants to give you what you need in your life? If it's not for your good, He's not going to give it to you, but I'm telling you, He wants to. Hey, Bartimaeus, what will thou that I should do unto you? That's good. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we're grateful for your word. Lord, I pray tonight for those that are here that has great needs in their life. God, you've told us in your word that we have not because we ask not. God, tonight my desire is that we as a church family would gather around these altars tonight and we would pour our hearts out to you about those needs that we have in our life. God, some of them might be what we would think is insignificant. But others would be great. And God, I pray that as we pray that you would hear our prayers. You've told us in the book of Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.